Well, let's turn over to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, we're talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and we are going to start step number four tonight, and that's know the reality of our righteousness in Christ. Know the reality of our righteousness in Christ. Now, as we've been going over these are things, they're not the seven steps, they're not, but they are seven steps. They're things that we can get a hold of that will raise our faith. Faith comes from the Word. You get faith, it's created as you hear the Word. But there are things that we need to understand that if we'll grab a hold in truth, that we'll grab a hold of, it will allow us to use that faith. Did you know you could have faith and not use it? Did you know that? You can have faith to be healed and not be healed. Did you know it? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be healed. Praise God. Let's just go over here. Acts real quick. Turn over to Acts. Hold your finger in Romans. We'll get back there, I think. Thank you, Lord. Let's see if I can find this just a minute. Let me go to Acts 14, verse 8. Acts 14, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Acts 14, verse 8. Everybody there? Yeah. Acts 14, verse 8, it says, "Now, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked." Just think of that. This man has never taken a step. He doesn't really know what it feels like to use his legs in that fashion. He's never done it. Not like he lost it. He's never walked. So in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, question, is he healed? But Paul said he sees that he has faith to be healed. But right now, is he healed? No, he's not. But he has faith, right? The Bible says he had faith. Paul saw it in him and said, this guy's got faith to be healed, but he's not healed. Is it possible to have faith for healing and not be healed? Yes, it is. You got to do something with your faith. There's a way to release it. You got to act on it. You can just sit there and be like, well, I believe. Why aren't I healed? Why aren't I healed? No, we gotta receive it and say, no, that's true, and I'm going to act on it. And so what happens next? It says, Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now, let me ask you a question. See, people get this backwards. They say, well, you just stand up on your feet, as if the guy just went up, just like without, like something jerked him up. No, he said, you stand up. He doesn't know how to do that. He's never done it before. But he has faith to be healed. He believes it. And so he starts doing it, and then the power hits him and he's up. And then they start, you know, saying the gods have come down. But that's just the thought I wanted to get over to you because I was saying it. I thought I'd show it to you. Go back over to Romans 3. So we're saying, these things will quicken your faith. They'll make you bold, because so many times we're defeated, and the devil will tell you, you don't have faith to do this. You don't have faith to do this, so what do? You sheathe your weapon, and you say, I'm not going to use it because I can't use it. I don't have faith. And if you believe that lie, and some of these things are faith robbers, if you don't understand the things we're talking about, you will be robbed of your faith. So in other words, you don't, like tonight, we're going to talk about the knowing the reality of our righteousness in Christ. If you don't understand this, you can be robbed of what is already yours because you don't understand that you have been made the righteousness of God. You have been. But the devil is sneaky, and what he does is he tries to talk us out of using what is ours, and this is how he defeats men, because he can't defeat you head to head. Did you know it? Did you know that? We have the power of the living God inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have your spirit, which isn't the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is resident in your spirit. You tell me the devil can take on the Holy Spirit? No. No. It's not even close. We're children of Almighty God. But we can be walking around with that power in us and not do anything with it, and the devil knocks us around, and all the while we have the mighty Holy Spirit of God on the inside, and yet we are getting thrashed in life. We're getting knocked around. Why? Because we're not using it. Our faith isn't strong. What is faith? It's confidence. You have confidence that what God said is true for you. You can't say, well, I know it's just for some people, and I don't know why. I can't make it work. Who said you couldn't make it work? See, you're not trying to make it work because you've convinced you can't make it work. Well, I've seen some stuff. I tried, and it doesn't change. Who said sight had anything to do with it? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. And so you're talked out. Well, it didn't change. Who said it didn't change? You haven't seen it change yet, but it's got to change because you believe in God. Either God's a liar or he's not. So we get talked out of it. And so we don't use our faith. We don't stand. We're not strong. And these things we're talking about will quicken your faith, will help you to be strong in faith, because then it's information so that when you're going and the trials of life come and hit you, an enemy brings something and tells you you can't overcome this, you will know how to go into battle. You'll say, no, I'm not falling for that. I know better now. And where this maybe have defeated you the last 1,000 times, you know something differently now. You can see something differently. So you say, no, I know a truth. Now, we've talked about this somewhere. We're talking a little bit about things that we've reviewed this concept before. But there are certain things that we know very well in this land that you have certain rights and privileges. And if you don't know what your rights and privileges are, you can be talked out of them, right? There are con artists. There are people that will try to cheat you. Doesn't mean you didn't have the right. It means you don't know, and you won't use it. And so these are the type of things we're talking about here, where this is another thing that we are founding and establishing our faith solidly on the Word, and then you get bold about it because you're not going to be talked out. The devil tries to come at you, and you're like, wait, no. I know better. Why? Because light has come. Light and truth has illuminated your life in such a way that now where you once were defeated and once were discouraged, now you're bold and you stay strong in faith and you use your faith. And if you stand on the Word and act on the Word, it will come to pass. And so this is so important. So we're going to talk about step number 4, know the reality of our righteousness in Christ. Now, if you didn't hear the other ones, some of them are longer than others. We stayed on some of these a while. And I encourage you to go back and listen to them because they build on one another. Romans 3:23. I got to get back there myself. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So it says, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. See, the same Greek root word that is translated righteousness here in Romans 3:25 and 26 is also translated just and justifier in the same verse. So when you see it says to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that's the same word that it's used, the same root word is used, that he might be just and the justifier. Those are all related. They all mean righteousness. So another way of saying it is that he might himself be righteous. So the words just and righteous and righteousness can be interchanged or interchangeable terms. So God has declared his righteousness to us through Jesus. God has himself is righteous and has become our righteousness. God is righteous and he has become our righteousness. Now don't let this be too simple. I know some of us heard, well, yeah, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. We can understand this in a greater way. In all these truths, we can come up to where we are completely secure in the reality of our righteousness and not as some religious doctrine, which is what we've been talking about on all these concepts. God is the righteousness of all who have believed on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're going to go there in a moment, but that says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is not a theory, but a Bible fact. God is the righteousness of the believer. I'm going to say that again. God is the righteousness of the believer. Say it like this. Say, God is my righteousness. God is my righteousness. So see, you're not righteous in and of yourself. Now, you have been made righteous in him, but how are you made righteous? Because of Jesus. Because of faith in Jesus. What did it say at the end of the passage we just read? It said, verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier, or the righteousness, because those words are all the same root, and the righteousness of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, when you're justified, that's to be made righteous. It's the same thing. If you justified, somebody said it this way, it's just if I'd never sinned. You are made righteous. God's righteousness is now ours. Hallelujah. I don't think we've really understood that. So in other words, your works don't make you righteous. The Bible does talk about righteous, being righteous or doing righteous things, and we're going to get into that. But that's different than the righteousness you receive as a gift. Now let's turn over just a chapter or two to Romans 5:17. See, we're talking about steps to the highest kind of faith. This is one, to know our righteousness. Our righteousness is his righteousness, and that is unassailable. And if we get this settled, then we won't be duped out of some things. Romans 5:17, it says, for if by the one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned through the one. See, death came into the world because Adam sinned. That's how, the Bible says right here, death reigned. There wasn't death before Adam, before the fall. But it came in, death reigned through the one, much more. So he said, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So this talks about a gift of righteousness. Of course, believers are to live right. But here it's talking about righteousness as a gift. A gift is something that's received now. We're talking about what we receive. That righteousness, God's righteousness, is what you received when you're born again. That's not your righteousness as that dude is righteous, and that's not even the way people use it, but that guy is one righteous person. What are they saying? Holy, just apart. They behave right. Now, that's not what it's talking about here, and that's not what we're focusing on here, but of course believers ought to live right. Righteousness as a stage of spiritual development is a fruit of the born-again, recreated human spirit, and it takes time to grow. I'm going to say that again. Righteousness as a stage of spiritual development is a fruit of the born-again, recreated human spirit, and it takes time to grow. So because, see, people have mixed this up over time, so they missed, and we're going to read some scripture to this effect, they mix up being the righteousness of God that's imputed to us as a gift through Jesus Christ, they mix that up with righteous living and righteousness as it applies to what you would do. Now, we ought to do and live righteously. As Christians, it ought to flow out of us. But you're going to grow in it. That means you're going to get more righteous as you live if you're following the Lord. Now, is that talking about your righteous standing, your justified standing with God? No. That's talking about how you live. But see, if you start crossing those two, you won't have confidence because there isn't a person in here or anywhere that has lived perfectly. And so that's not a bad confession. Our goal should be to not sin. We should never go in saying, I'm going to sin. Never make room for sin. Never plan to sin. The devil tries to get you to say, just to believe, I can't help it, and it's a lie. I said, it's a lie. I can't, you know, he said, the devil tries to get you to say, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. That's not true. And if you buy that lie, then you'll act like, why would you resist something that you can't do anything about? You wouldn't. You don't resist sin then. And so the thing that will destroy us, we don't resist. And it's actually from the enemy, but if we buy this lie, I just can't do it, but God loves me anyway. Of course he loves you anyway, but it will destroy you, right? And so then, and it will hurt your conscience if we try to do it. And so then you go to stand before God. I mean, you go to stand in a situation where you're going through a trial. And if you don't understand this, you're tying your righteousness before God to what you've done. And if you've done something and you don't know how to take care of it, which we've talked about before, you go, you confess it before God. And it's, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you. You say that was wrong. And that's it. You say that you confess saying, I sinned. That was wrong. You're acknowledging it's wrong. So in other words, if you don't acknowledge it, if you say, it doesn't matter, God loves me anyway, God loves you, but that will destroy you, and there's not cleansing. You see? And so the devil will mess you up like that. He'll eat your lunch and pop the bag because he will come up and be like, what, you're gonna believe for what? Look what you just did. And if you try to say, it doesn't matter, I'm okay, your heart will condemn you and you won't get past that. But if you know that your righteousness, your right standing, in other words, the ability to believe God and the fact that you have even any standing to go before God and believe him is because of Jesus. It's not because of you, because your righteousness is as filthy rags. But if you realize that your ability to go before Jesus or before God is all because of Jesus, now you can stand on that word. You can take care of how you stumbled and you say, Lord, that was wrong. And now you realize that that's taken care of and all that is left is the righteousness of God. And you can stand up boldly and act on it. And you can believe God in the face of contradictory circumstances and be bold about it. See, if you don't know this and you tie believing God to what you've done, what the devil will tell you is, who are you? You deserve this. You know full well you just messed up, and now, of course, this is the logical conclusion. You think you're going to get rid of it? Well, if we know that we're righteous in Christ and we're not tying it exactly to what we do, then what punishment does God have coming to him? The answer is none. Whose righteousness is what righteousness do we have as a born-again Christian? Whose is it? It's God's. So if he doesn't deserve it, and he's our righteousness, and our righteousness is his righteousness, we don't deserve it. And see, then, even if you've messed up and stumbled, you say, now, I blew that. That was wrong. I blew it. But then you stand right up, and in the minute the devil tries to come and say, yeah, but this is exactly you. You did this, and this is absolutely the consequence. You deserve this. You can look him in the eye and say, no, I don't. How can you say that? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, which is different than me being righteous in my own self, because I'm not righteous in my own self. Now, let's look at a couple scriptures that talk about the other type of righteousness, and we'll go a little bit further in talking about the fruit of righteousness, which, I mean, we'll talk about this now, or the fruit of righteousness that is flows out of a born-again heart, that should be growing. Let's go over to Philippians 1:11 real quick. Philippians 1:11. And why don't you find that and also find 2 Corinthians 9. Philippians 1:11 and 2 Corinthians 9. We'll look at both of these. Philippians 1:11, 2 Corinthians 9. And why don't you go ahead and find John 15 as well. John 15, you guys got enough fingers? You have more than three, right? Okay, we're all set then. Philippians 1:11, 2 Corinthians 9. And then John 15. You guys have them? All right, Philippians 1:11, let's look at that. It says, let's just actually, let's read verse 9 and then we'll go into 11. Excuse me, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Now, this is talking about the fruits of righteousness. This is a result of your born-again human spirit. This is not talking about the righteousness that you have as a gift, like we just talked about in Romans 5:17. That's the gift of righteousness. This is a fruit of righteousness. This is an outflow, or should be an outflow, of our Christian life. Do you know we ought to be getting more and more righteous in our works and what we do? We ought to be better today than we were 5 years ago. We ought to have a better relationship with our spouse or our siblings or our family members today than we did 5 years ago. Why? Because we're getting better. Do you know a lot of the things that when we get better, a better relationship with somebody, so oftentimes it's not that they've necessarily changed so much. It's that our response to them changes, how we treat them changes. And of course, then if they're Christians, then they ought to be changing too. And if I'm overlooking your faults and you're overlooking my faults, well, it just greases the whole thing. So it says here, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Go over to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 10. It says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now we're talking about righteousness as a stage of spiritual development, and that's a fruit. So he says, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now let's turn over to John 15. Fairly familiar. John 15, verse 1. We're actually just talking about this before service. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now notice that. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. This fruit we're talking about, even the fruit of righteousness, is not something you do and work up alone. It comes from you being connected with the Lord. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So even this type of fruit we're talking about, you don't just set out and go, I'm going to do it. I'm going to change it. It's all me. By my moral muscle and my willpower, I'm changing this. A lot of people are doing that around the world this time, and half of them have fallen. Well, maybe not half, but a good percentage of people have already fallen off what they said they were going to do for this year. You know, we're two-thirds through January. Because a lot of them are saying, I'm going to do it. Now, can you do certain things through willpower? Yes, you can. But you know what? Like somebody said, when you try to do things in the flesh, it always pops up somewhere else in a different form. So in other words, you try to change yourself in the flesh, it's like there's this bump popping up and you say, ah, got it. And then it pops up over there and you say, ah, got it. And now it pops up on your leg and you're like, okay, got it. And then other, you know, shin, and you're like, ah, see, I'm still doing all right. And now, you know, on your back or something, and you're done. This is exactly what happens. They're like, it comes out. People stop one habit and they start another. I'm going to stop doing this. But yeah, they started doing this. Well, I'm going to stop doing that. Yeah, but they started doing this. The flesh will come out. You try to deal with the flesh, just your flesh, and you're going to put down the flesh, you won't. You might have some results for a while, but it's just going to go somewhere else. No, real change comes from you being hooked up with the Spirit of God. That's why when we talk about being not being forgetful hearers before when we're praying that, we're saying, look, we're not saying we're going to change in and of ourselves, that we're going to hear the word and we're just going to change. We're saying, by your grace and your help, we'll do what you tell us to do. So I'm going to hear the word, I'm going to see the adjustment, and I'm going to say, okay, Lord, here we go, I'm doing it. If you said I can do it, I can do it, and I know that you're enabling me to do it, else you wouldn't have told me to do it. Wouldn't God be unjust if he told you to do something that you couldn't do? The devil would tell you, you can't do it. That command in that Bible, what it says, I can't do it. Nobody can do it. Well, then God's unjust, right? If your employer came and told you to do something at work and you did not have the capability to do it, but he took, you know, your performance metrics and he said, all right, this year you're being judged and your bonus and your salary, your raise is going to be judged on these metrics, and there you look at it and go, there's no way I can do that. I can't do it. Yeah, well, you better figure out a way how, because else you're not getting any kind of raise. Would that be fair? No. And then you get to the end of the year, hoping for some mercy. He says, here's what you've done. You didn't do it. Yeah, but there's no way I could do that. I'm not even in that area. You're talking about this other area, and I don't even know how to do any of that. Yeah, too bad, but this is the metrics. Sorry, buddy. And that's what people think God's doing. They think, well, he's told me to do this, but I can't do it. I'm not capable to do it. Then God's a liar. No, when God tells us to do something, automatically we have the ability to do it, but it takes faith to act on what he said and believe that what he said we could do, we could do. But you'll find out, just like that guy we started out with, that if you have faith and you act on it, you will see the change. You can't sit there and go, there's no way, I'm not going to even try, there's no way, you'll never see it. Unless you step out. Now the power's there to cause his word to come to pass. And so we're talking about that we can't do anything unless we're hooked up with the vine, which is the Lord. So he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So even this righteousness we're talking about, we're not talking about something that we go, yes, I did it. I'm so much better than I used to be. Praise be the Lord. But what they're really saying is, I'm awesome. I did it. I'm cool. I took the word and I put it to practice, and look at me now. You see that? That's not godly. And people get discouraged because they're like, well, I can't do it. There must be something wrong with me. Now, you'll give if it's because your righteousness is because you're looking to the Lord. You won't be puffed up about it. You'll realize where I was, and there's no way that was me. And I'm here. Let me tell you how I was. And you don't have to do that. You don't have to glorify the devil. But if somebody were like, ooh, I just can't believe how far you are. If you were to tell them the truth, you'd say, let me tell you something. Here's where I was, and this is actually the story of what happened. If people be honest, this is how I got here, and it's just the Lord's mercy, and it's His grace, and it's His help. And who gets all the glory and honor? He does. Whereas the other way, men do. So when we start thinking, oh, I'm just righteous, I'm doing really well, we got to be careful that we're not getting puffed up, because pride comes before what? Fall. If we start thinking, it's me, it's me, it's me, man, all this, I've done all this, and it was just me. I was the one. I mean, yeah, sure, God gave me the opportunity, but after all, I did it, and I'm awesome. And then, boom, hit a brick wall, because what? You're just looking at how great you are, not looking at the Lord, and then you get knocked out. But the righteousness we're talking about is through Him. So you can't even take credit for that. So we're gifted with righteousness, and then the righteousness we're talking about here is a fruit, and that just comes out of knowing the Lord. It comes out of growing up in Him, and you can't help but grow up. So it says, as the branch cannot bear, verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. We bear much fruit. If we're looking and being in Him, we will bear fruit. We ought to bear fruit. This is the process. We ought to grow up. We ought to be better than this year than we were last year. We ought to, our righteousness should grow, but we're talking about as a fruit of our reborn spirits. We're not talking about that righteousness which was imputed to us, because you can't improve that. And that's the righteousness that you come to God on the grounds of. Okay. He says, He who abides in me, verse 5, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do what? Nothing. You say, well, I've done some stuff without God. Yeah, but you're good. Like we said before, you do it by yourself. Guess what? Payday's coming and it's going to stick out somewhere, and people are going to know. Yeah, you did it, but something fell through the cracks, and then here you go. Where did this problem come from? Well, because you're trying to do it in the flesh. You can't do anything that's going to be of any lasting value apart from Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life and accomplish some things, and then 3 decades from now have just a mess because I did it all myself. I don't want that. What I want is to go and do what He's told me to do and grow little by little, and that righteousness just grows because He's helping me to do it. And then over time, I don't have any payback because I'm just taking steps as He's pruning me, as He's growing me up. I just get better and better and better and better. And it's not me, but it's Him in me and Him in you. And then you look back 20 years from now and you're like, man, this has just been good. This has just been good. And I to God be the glory. Look what the Lord has done. Look at what He's done. That's the righteousness we're talking about, and that should grow when we're talking about fruit. Verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So should we bear fruit of this type? Yes, we ought to. And He said, God, see, this type of fruit is not you and I doing it. This type of fruit, like we said, is based on Him. And that type of fruit, when we bear much of it, God is glorified. He said, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. So should we be bearing fruit? Yes, we ought to. So, people say, well, we're just the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Works are nothing. No, works aren't anything to earn the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we ought to be righteous. We ought to be growing in righteousness. Absolutely, the Bible clearly talks about it. And the Bible clearly says that we ought to grow in it and that we ought to glorify God. God does not get any glory out of things that we do that would go away from righteousness. Now, there is cleansing in Him, and we want to make it our goal that I want to glorify my Father. I want to make my family look good. You know, I don't want to do something that would shame my Father. I don't want to do things that would shame my brother and sisters. And then go, but I'm righteous in God. Yeah, but other people don't understand that, and they just see what you did, and they say, that looks bad on everybody, right? I mean, we ought to be growing up and getting more and more Christ-like, higher and higher, grow higher and higher, and get more and more righteousness. Our righteousness ought to grow. But that is not the gift of righteousness, which we were talking about in Romans 5:17, and which we'll be getting into more, that gift of righteousness. But I wanted to touch on this and go over the fact that we ought to be doing things well. We ought to be doing things well, but we don't want to confuse that with our right standing with God. Those things don't bias right standing with God. And that's what we're really going to focus on, because we want to know that we are in right standing with God, and that even then, if our righteousness doesn't measure up, even if we've dealt with it, we can still come boldly and still partake of all the things He's bought and paid for and imputed to us through His righteousness. And we'll get into that probably next time. Hallelujah.